gonna do a scripture. This is Brielle, and I'm Kendi. Isaiah 53:1-6. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when men shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:1-6. Bye!
Good morning, you guys out there, and good morning to everybody that's here with us in person. This is going to be part two of Armor of God, and this is going to wrap it up, okay? I want to give a shout out to Miss Ruth in Canada. She had her Jewish friend told her about us. God works through everybody. So praise God that we have Jewish people out there watching too, that are watching along with our ministry. And Miss Anne Marie, I want to tell you that God bless you and your family, and I'm so proud of your daughter. She's 13 years old, and she watched that little update that I gave on Miss Peregrine's home for peculiar children. And her little daughter, she went in her room and she cleaned out her books and her toys, her dolls and things that she had from that satanic show, that book, show, movie, all of it. And I want to tell you, that was Holy Spirit moving on her. Praise God, because I almost didn't put that out there. And if it was for nobody else but your daughter, then he gets the glory. Hallelujah. And Cookie Cruncher, I just want to tell you that your little screen name just makes me laugh. And it's always a blessing to see you out there commenting, okay? And I want to tell Miss Myra, thank you for sharing this ministry with others. That's what we pray that all of you guys do. Tell somebody else. Tell them, you know, that you'll be learning. You'll be discipled. You'll know what's going on, okay? Because we're plugged in with Jesus Christ, all right? So let's get on into it. You know, when you look at this first picture, we're talking about the armor of God. And when you're in a battle, when you're in war, which is what we are, you're certainly not going to just go out there unequipped, okay? You shouldn't. It's not wise, let's put it that way, okay? So we're going to be talking again about the armor of God. And where we left off last week, what we're on right now, helmet of salvation, okay? And we're still, remember Paul, most of the time he was hooked up in chains with those Roman soldiers. That's who was over, you know, Jerusalem. So they saw them walking the streets. So this is kind of like Roman soldier attire when you look at this helmet. Okay, we want to remember, we were talking about each piece and breaking it down to us so we can get it and understand what does all that even mean, okay? Now, and I was sharing some things that Pastor Erustus had shared, okay, in with this message. So along with me, and we're going to get into some other people in a minute. To get your helmet of salvation, okay, you have to be sincerely saved by accepting Jesus Christ into your life. And it's a shame that we are at a point now that we have to say stuff about a true Christian or really saved or sincerely saved. We have to define these terms now because people are just using this stuff like it's nothing, like, yeah, I'm saved. What? They got a knife fixing to stab somebody in the throat. And you're like, and you're saved? That's where we're at. That's what everybody thinks. Here in America, like, what do they say? You fill out a survey and it gives you what you are, and everybody checks, Christian? Really? Okay. So that's how you're going to get your helmet, is by sincerely, in your heart, accepting Jesus. Not to impress nobody else who drug you to church. Not to make your mama or your daddy happy. Not to impress your girlfriend. Not none of that, okay? Or boyfriend. None of that. That's not what it's about. If it ain't from your heart, then, you know, you might have impressed them, but you didn't impress God, okay? And that's the one you need to be worried about. So many are professing salvation by the mouth, and in their hearts, they're not born again. Christ must be our head and authority in everything. So think about, he's the head of the church. We're the body. He's the head, okay? In everything. He is just that helmet that covers the head. Jesus Christ is the head, okay? And you're coming under his authority, right? Head stands for a sign of authority. You are not going to win against Satan if you're not saved or you're backslidden. And if you lack the authority of Christ in your life, so you might be thinking you got a helmet on. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing on your head. You're totally unprotected. He is the head. He's the author and the finisher of our salvation, okay? Now, and here he is. Don't beat me up. Everybody's out there fighting right now, whether he's black, whether he's white. What? My goodness, he was a Hebrew. He came and walked in the flesh as a Jewish rabbi. And, you know, we're not going to be concerned about all this color when we get to heaven. That's a fleshly thing. That's race and hate right there, trying to come into the body of Christ. So here he is. This is a picture I picked, okay? He's the head. We are the body. He is alive. He did rise. This message has a lot of scripture in it, y'all. The first one we're going to go to is Matthew 28:18. And we're talking about the head. We're talking about that authority. We're talking about the power. We're talking about everything that has to do with your helmet of salvation. Okay? Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I will say on earth. Two, since we want to split hairs on that stuff sometimes. All power. Okay? Luke 10:19. And this is Jesus. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Some people are scared to say Satan. They're like, oh, don't rouse him up. Oh, I got people out there just this week telling me, oh, don't say a demon's name. Oh, my goodness. Oh. You know what? That's the occult. Yeah. The occults are the ones who say the demon's name so many times and sum them up and whatever. I don't care how many times I say the demon's name and he shows up. Guess who covers me? And I'm not scared. And you know why you're not scared? You're not supposed to be scared. If you've got Jesus Christ and you know that God is for you, no one can be against you. And no demon in hell is going to scare you. Amen. Stop that stuff, y'all. All right. That right there, when we're talking about that authority, the power that he's talking about there, let's break down that power. Because Jesus is saying he has it all, right? And in Luke 10, he's saying he gave it to us.
Yes.
Power, when you look that up in the Greek, 1849 means privilege, delegated influence. Yes. And it's the same in both of those scriptures. It has the same meaning. All of that was given to him by God the Father, the head of the Trinity. Yes. And then Jesus turned and gave it to us. Okay? Now, and just think about it. Yes, the person who gave it still has it all too. It's an impartation, okay? Luke 24:49. We're going to look at some more things that Jesus gave us. This only is going to come if you got that helmet of salvation. If you don't have that, you don't have any of this, okay? Luke 24:49. And behold, this is Jesus speaking again. I send the promise of my Father upon you. You better want that promise, y'all. I talked about that a few weeks ago. That's the baptism into the Holy Spirit. That's not what you get when you're saved. There's another step where you ask Jesus to baptize you after salvation. That's when you're going to get that power, okay? So I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, that means wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he said, wait for it. Don't we like to smart that off? Wait for it. Wait. For, you know what I mean? And then the joke's going to hit. Well, Jesus said it too. Wait for it. And that power from on high is, in the Greek, 14:11, dunamis. Now, exactly, Pastor Jerry was saying, comes from our word dynamite. You think of a powerful explosion. You want to blow something up. Think about them goofball, what's-her-faces, Muslims trying to strap on some junk and blow themselves up. What do you call them? Suicide bombers. Okay. Okay. So, force, especially miraculous power, power, strength, violence, because it's that kind of power. Mighty, wonderful work. This is the Holy Spirit baptism. He is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Didn't nobody go in there and lay hands on Jesus and pray and do any of that stuff. Holy Spirit did it. So Jesus has given those that trust in him and obey him. Nobody likes that word, obey. You'd think we'd have figured that out by now. Our parents wanted us to obey. Our parents. Natural parents, okay? And God expects us to obey him too. He don't want a bunch of unruly, crazy kids going around doing whatever. He wants us to mind and obey. So he gave us, those that trust in him and obey, his power and authority. They're two different things, and he gave them both to us. Now, let's think about this. So how about Satan attacking our salvation? Remember I was trying to show you how he's coming at those pieces of the armor and trying to damage them or trying to get you to take them off, trying to get you to lay down that shield of faith and just turn around and walk off? He wants you to take that armor off. He's coming at that armor. He's coming at the different pieces. So how does he come at our helmet of salvation? He can make someone, listen to this carefully. He can make someone who is saved think they're not saved. You're worried about it. I'm not saved. I'm not good enough. I don't know. I don't, you know, and there you are fretting and worrying. You're already saved and you're worried about it. And just like he can do that, he can make somebody who is not saved think they are. And I want to tell you what, I'm dealing with a lot of those. They are no more saved than a man in the moon, and they'll tell you in a heartbeat, well, I'm saved. They almost want to put it back to you like, you ain't, but I am. Wow. And I want to tell you something. That's what he can do. He can make somebody who's not saved think they are saved. And what happens if you're not saved and you think you are? He's got you already. And you're just skating along thinking you and God are tight like that. We tight like that. Really. That's what Satan wants you to believe. Okay? That once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. Amen. Once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. And I want to share some things with y'all. He loves that one. He likes the people that take that. Okay? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And some people are using that scripture to fight about stuff. They don't understand what that means because they don't know God's true character. Okay? Amen. Now, thinking about this one saved, always saved, it is one of the biggest ones that he comes at us with. And I will tell you, if you listen to Derek Prince and his deliverance ministry, you get a religious spirit, you get some deceiving spirits, and guess what? One spirit that came out in one of his deliverances was the false eternity. Oh, what do you call it? False security. It was the once saved, always saved demon. Yeah. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 24:20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. Remember, in the Old Testament, they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. God would come on them and place his Spirit on them at different times, or like King David when he put his Spirit on him, okay? Now we are so privileged and blessed in this grace dispensation that we get Holy Spirit living inside of us, okay? So now, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress the commandments of the Lord? Talking to the people, and he's saying, why are you transgressing my commandments? that you cannot prosper. Because you have forsaken the Lord, He has forsaken you. Now let's remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For those people that think that He will, that's the little scripture they like to hang on to. He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's right, if you want Him. You think He's going to stay somewhere where you don't want Him and you don't honor Him and you don't obey Him, you better think again. You better get to know who God is. So, He's not going to stay where He's not welcome. In 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, I'm going to turn there and let's read that out. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. This is going to be about false teachers and false prophets. For if after they have escaped the pollutions, which is sins of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, so they go back into their sins and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So they got all cleaned up. They got out of it. They came to the Lord. And then gradually they went right back to it. They went back into their sin. So for you people that think they can't turn back, they can't go back, you better pray about these scriptures. You better ask God, how come those scriptures in the Bible don't line up with what I'm believing? It's all got to fit, y'all. All the scriptures have to fit. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness. You see that? If you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also shall be cut off. And that's talking about the natural branches, which were the Jews. And then it's talking about us Gentiles, which were grafted in. And so it's talking about if they were broken off so they could make room for you, then you better watch it too, right? James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you, this is one of Scott's favorite scriptures. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, which means turns him back. Let him know that he which converts, which means brings him back, the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins because he came back. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. We don't just blow people off that are backslidden or that are understanding wrong or that fell down in their walk. It's like draw them back to God, okay? James right there was talking to brethren. So you have to realize, because some people want to say, well, he was talking to the church. He was talking to the brethren. That's what we're called today, Christians. Okay? And he was talking about turning those that were in the church, that did know Jesus, that turned away. He was talking about turning them back. So the helmet, it also covers our minds and our thoughts. Right? And isn't Satan all about trying to come against our brain and what we're thinking? He tries to get you to think on sin, right? Because he wants to tempt you so that you will do it. When you get those thoughts of clicking on that link with the seductive woman or the seductive man, don't they have that stuff in our face all the time? Or you think of flirting with your coworker? Who's going to know, right? My spouse isn't here. We get along really good at work, this, that, and the other, whatever. It's just a flirt. Who's going to know? Are you lusting after drugs or money or food or sexual perversion? Everyone else is going to see the latest. Oh, here's one. Like these days. It's like everybody's going to see the latest vampire, zombie, goblins, whatever all. It's all out there. Okay? They're going to see the movie. It's just innocent. You know, or it's just an innocent Halloween costume. Just a Halloween costume. It's just dressed up like a fairy. Or it's a good witch. Satan wants to drown you in unholy thoughts, which will pull you away from God and into sin. When you dwell on the thought, you usually wind up acting on it, and it becomes a sin. Okay, so all of this stuff, just going to click on this link and just look at this one seductive picture that popped up in my search for something else. I'm just going to flirt with my coworker one time. Nobody's going to know. It's not going to hurt anything. Right? Just going to go watch the movie with the group. It's no big deal. It's not like I'm trying to be a zombie or a goblin or whatever, right? So you might think about it. What does the Bible say about what we're thinking about? What does it say about what we let come into our mind? One passage I was thinking about, let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. One just came into my mind. We're supposed to be thinking about things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are true, things that are, you know, Scott can put that link up, but that's what we're supposed to be thinking about, okay? But let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations. Now, aren't you sitting there imagining what's behind that picture that they put up there? I'm just going to click on it and see what else is there. Imagining I'm going to flirt with my coworker. Is it going to be received? Are they going to reciprocate and flirt back? Or, you know, maybe you're sitting there with your sexual perversion and your lust for drugs and money and whatever. That's coming into your mind, okay? All of that stuff starts swirling in your mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I used to read that. Y'all know me, and I'd be like, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what that means, trying to bring something captive to Christ, because, you know, I used to think, well, he's invisible, and I don't know. Well, let's find out. Okay, so the imaginations start in your mind, and we are to stop and break off those arrows that Satan shoots at our mind. Okay, that's why you need your helmet on. Who exalts himself against God? Who is it that originally even started that, exalting himself against God? It was Satan. Remember, I will set my throne above yours. So the thoughts that are not holy and they're not focused on God, they're of Satan or they're of the flesh. And either way, it's not of God. That's what a lady in my old Sunday school class used to tell me. She'd go, either way, you can chalk them two up as neither one of them are good. You only want the ones from God in the first place, right? So how do we bring them captive to the obedience of Christ? You speak the word. You have to know the word in order to speak it. You have to know the word in order for it to come on your heart and come into your mind to battle that thought that you just have. If you don't know the word, then you're going to entertain those thoughts and you're going to be acting on them and you're going to be like, I didn't know. I didn't know any better. But once you feed on God's word, remember, that's how you're going to grow spiritually, so that you get fed on the word and then it can come out and you can speak it out. So you speak the word. That's how you bring the thoughts captive to Christ. Just like Jesus spoke the word against Satan when he was trying to tempt him in the desert. Every single temptation, Jesus spoke the word. So let's break this down and see if we can kind of get it a little bit better. Okay? Look at this little guy. All right. So you see this little guy right here, and you see what, see the little thought bubble, and look what he's thinking about. There you have the little trucker girl, the little naked truck stop girl on there with all the X's. Bad stuff, okay? And it's like, ooh, he's thinking about it. You got to find a scripture. Oh, and this little black thing over here, this little box, he actually went ahead and acted on it. So I didn't know how to edit that very well, so you see that just that black book. Okay, I didn't like that part because he should not have went over there and did that, so I had to spank him, okay? Here's what you do. You're over here thinking about this in this first little cloud. You find a scripture that addresses the temptation, and you speak it out loud. You might say, I will not look at porn because the Word of God says, and here it is, Matthew 5, 28 through 29. But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see that? You put God's word in that rebuke and you speak it out. You let Satan know and those demons know that those thoughts he's trying to put on you, you combat it with the word, okay? You say, Lord, please help me. After you speak that out, then you turn to prayer. Lord, please help me to protect my eyes from sinning against you. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over my eye gates, and nothing but what is of you, Lord, will enter in. In Jesus' name, amen. You've spoken out the word, and you threw your lifeline up to God in prayer. Said, help me. Okay? That's what you do. Instead of going over there and clicking on it and seeing what else shows up. Now, and look at this next picture. We're fixing to move on to another part of our armor. And it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I like this because look at this sword with all that electricity, all that power, all that dunamis all around it glowing. It's like you're pulling it up out of that Bible because that's what it is. That's where it comes from. Okay? It's a weapon. It comes alive when the Holy Spirit quickens God's word on your hearts and your mind. Then we can cause it or we can use it on the enemy with power. When a scripture really comes alive to you and you really get it and it really speaks to you and you get a hold of it, the Holy Spirit just quickens that on you. And you use that against the enemy. It's a weapon. You don't understand a scripture, you're probably not going to use that one, right? So the more you grow, the more you pray and ask Holy Spirit to open your understanding and teach you this word, the more scripture you're going to understand, the more he's going to quicken on your spirit, the more you're having your arsenal to come against Satan with, okay? And look at this next sword. I like this sword. When I fight, you got to fight with power. You don't come out there with some little wimpy, you know, whatever. Just get on and get the job done, okay? I remember Tim Thompson telling me, I was fighting something in the spirit, and he told me, he said, when you're in there and you're dreaming and you're fighting in your dreams, he said, picture your sword and take the enemy out with it. So it's like just get a visual in your mind. And you think about that sword. And then it's like, you know, like you see in the movies, come on, bring it. You don't want what I got. You don't want who stands with me and for me. Okay? We can't kind of quit being cowards and wimps and scared to, you know, say, oh, say, please. He's already there, you know? So let's talk about the sword of the Spirit. Just like, just like a soldier, we're not to just be defensive, but offensive too. It's a weapon, okay? Hence, we have been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to attack and destroy Satan and his power. We have been given authority in God's word to fight the devil. Jesus used the word to attack Satan when he tempted him. Jesus is our example. He's our leader, okay? That's who you follow. We must follow his example and pick up our swords and go on the offense. You don't have to even wait till he comes to attack you, okay? Some people think, ooh, everything's going good. I'm just going to try to lay low. I'm just going to be quiet. That's what he wants you to do. So don't just sit there and wait. My attitude is be ready to jab, cut, and slash the enemy and take him down all the time. It's kind of like that thing. He might think he's got the best of you. And what do we see in the movies all the time when the underdog is kicked and tore up and rolled up over there and the bad guy thinks, I got you. And he starts to turn and the underdog, he pulls that last little bit of strength out and he gets him. That's because that's the God we serve. He ain't going to get the last blow on you. He ain't going to get the last punch in. It's okay. This is where you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fight effectively too. He's the power. Remember, like the dynamite blowing everything up? You need the dynamite. Okay? Now, I want to share something with y'all from Perry Stone. He had a book, There's a Crack in Your Armor. And I'm going to share some of what he shared along with my thoughts too. He says, the truth of God's word is the support that lifts our sword when in battle and brings rest in times of peace. If you don't believe this word and you don't understand this word, you're not going to lift your sword, right? You're not going to be speaking it out. You're not going to be talking about it. You're not going to be, because it didn't mean anything to you, right? So it's like you don't even have a sword, okay? People talk of logos, the logos word, being the written word, and rhema word being the spoken word. Rhema is a word or scripture that the Holy Spirit quickens to your spirit. That's when it comes alive to you. That's when you click. That's when you get it. That's when God revealed it to your spirit, okay? Bringing with it a strong faith to believe and act thereon. You know when you're sitting in church or you're sitting somewhere and you have that moment of that scripture just came alive to you. And you know that was a moment of God just spoke to you. And you take it in your spirit and you take it to heart and you hang on to it. That's what he wants you to do. Okay? Because that's when you're going to act on it. When the Holy Spirit takes a scripture from the printed page into your spirit and suddenly you feel literal faith come alive. And then you have in your possession the sword of the Spirit. Now he went to Vine's definition of rhema. The significance of rhema is exemplified in the injunction to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here the reference is not to the whole Bible as such, but to the individual scripture which the Spirit brings to our remembrance for use in the time of need, a prerequisite being the regular storing in the mind of the scripture. Okay, you know, the Bible tells you, I think it was when Jesus was talking to his disciples when he was fixing to go away, and he told them not to worry about, not to plan ahead of time and worry about what they were going to say when they were hauled in before the, you know, the governments, the kings, the magistrates, the whoever's that were going to be persecuting them. He said, the Holy Spirit will give you the words right then and there on the spot. And it's the same for us today. But in order for the Holy Spirit to give you those words, you need to be feeding on the Word of God. It's got to be in there for him to quicken it, okay? It works together. So that is a for sure way that he still speaks to us today is his Word. King David asked the Lord to help him to hide his word in his heart that he might not sin against him. What's going to help you not to sin against God? Knowing his word, okay? The sword of the Spirit is defensive and offensive. As a defensive weapon, the word of God defends your heart against lies and deception. If you know the word when those lies and deceptions come, you're not going to fall into it, right? It also defends the mind against mental attacks and is a weapon to defend against the power of temptation. It has within its spiritual DNA the inherent power to resist, restrain, and rebuke. As an offensive weapon, the Word of God attacks the power and presence of sin as it cuts into the human spirit and begins to extract the sin influence out of your inner man. Even the Word of God will work on you. It'll work on you to get the sin out, okay? Make you live more holy for God. The Word of God is an offensive weapon to attack sickness. And it becomes the scalpel of the great physician to eradicate sickness and disease out of the human body. The Word is also an offensive, protective weapon to guard against thoughts of seduction as it cuts into channels of the mind. The Word of God divides the soul from the spirit, or the carnal mind from the spirit man. Now, I want to talk to you all a minute about speaking out God's Word, okay? It's very powerful when you speak out into, you know, whatever you call this, out into the universe, the atmosphere. Atmosphere, we'll go with that. Think about it. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, say. He didn't say think. You can think in your heart a prayer, but at some point you need to be praying out loud. You need to be speaking out loud. You need to be doing some things out loud. Jesus said, when you pray, say, okay? And when he taught about removing mountains, he said, speak to the mountain. He didn't say, look at the mountain and think in your heart. He said, speak to it. Okay? Speaking God's word, for it's alive and it is life and health to all our flesh. Now, I want to share something with y'all real quick about how to fight. So we can get some examples so you guys can be equipped and understand how to do this, how this works. So, say you're under a spiritual attack, like say our ministry. We've had people making ugly videos about us, right? Okay, that's spiritual because you got to remember it's not flesh. We don't fight against flesh. It's against, you know, principalities, the powers of darkness, okay? That's who's driving that person to make those ugly videos. So that's an attack. And you got to think about people having nightmares or having demonic manifestations and different things. So you got to think, how do I fight against this, okay? There's steps that you take that you need to do. But here's something else you can add into the mix with your warfare. Okay, you've heard this one a lot. When you start speaking out God's word, you find scripture that's going to speak to what it is you're up against, okay? Now, Miss Yolindi, Miss Pat talks like this. She's on the prayer team. And Miss Yolindi sent me this, and I want to share this, okay? These ladies know how to get a hold of scripture and come at something, and that's what you're supposed to do. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And so what you would say is, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Just flip it and put you in it, okay? Put yourself in that scripture because that's what it means. And every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. And you could even say, and I am your servant. Now take that and receive it, okay? Psalm 91:10. There shall no evil befall me. That's what you got to say. You got to speak it out like that. There shall no evil befall me. Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. Ephesians 6:11, which is what we're talking about. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So you can say, God, you are my refuge and my strength, and you are a very present help in this trouble. You take that scripture into your life and you apply it against what you're fighting against, okay? It's a weapon. You could say Deuteronomy 31:6, I am strong and of a good courage. I am not afraid, and I am not afraid of them. For the Lord my God, it is He that goes with me. He will not fail me nor forsake me. That's how you fight, okay? Now look at this next guy. This is something that wasn't spoken about in that passage as far as our armor. But I liked Perry Stone because he goes into it a little bit more. Because when you saw those Roman soldier guys, they had these big javelins, okay? So here's this javelin. And Paul didn't say javelin per se. But you can see in the form of our prayers, you know, you can look at, we have other weapons that go along with our armor, right? And he did talk about prayers in that passage. When he spoke about all the armor, he ended it telling you to pray. Okay? Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. And you think about that prayer. First, it's your lifeline up to God, and you're getting Him to move on your behalf. And His holy war and angels, the host of heaven. I mean, everything's at your disposal. God will release and send and command, okay? When you call out and cry on to Him, that's what He does. Think about when Daniel was over there praying, and God already dispatched the answer, and there Gabriel was trying to fight through in the air, the spirit realm, trying to get the answer through to Daniel. And then what had to happen? We need some backup. You know, what do the cops do? We need backup over here, whatever, da, 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 dispatch it. And next thing you know, here comes Michael the archangel. And guess what? That answer got through. Sometimes you need some backup. You throw that lifeline up to God, okay? And then what happens? Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Uh-oh, there's that Spirit. You better ask for that baptism into the Holy Spirit if you want the power to be doing this kind of stuff. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, when you pray, and you have to stay in prayer. There's power in prayer, okay? And it's just like you throwing a javelin out there in the middle of the enemy to strike him down. Prayer is more than communication to God. It's also a weapon of war that releases angelic powers to defeat the stronger principalities of the enemy. You got ranks that you're going against. And the stronger you get in God, the higher up the rank you move. Okay, you got to look at it as an army. There's some of us down here on the beginning stages, right? We just got suited up and we're just out there, you know, in the battle. And then there's some of us that are seasoned, right? There's some people that are, like Pastor Jerry, who comes here, has been 50-something years in the fight, okay? He's way more seasoned than me, right? So you go up the ranks like that. You get through some battles. You get worn. You get tattered. You get experience. And then you can help that new soldier that just stepped out on the battlefield and don't know what to do, okay? Praise is a weapon. Y'all, if you want to know who God is, He wants our worship and our praise, but He is not going to force you to do it. And think about Satan with his little beautiful self when he was in heaven, Lucifer. Okay, and many believe he was over the worship and praise in heaven. And so guess what really torques him off? When you are praising and worshiping God of your own free will. You are hitting the enemy with everything right there. He can't stand it. Psalm 149, 6 through 9, talking about praise. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all saints. Praise ye the Lord. It's an honor to be able to do that. And when you praise God, I mean, when you do that, you draw Him in to your situation, He will fight for you. I've heard of so many people that it wasn't, you know, you have different tactics, right? Praying and fasting and different things that you can do. But I've heard a lot of people that just started praising God. Just started praising Him and praising Him and praising Him. And He moved. And they got their breakthrough. Okay? He'll fight for you when you're giving Him glory and praise. And I always like this passage in 2 Chronicles 20, 21 through 22. I believe this was Jehoshaphat that was fixing to go out to fight. And it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. He's going out to war, and he's appointing singers. You know why? Because he was in tune with his God. Okay? He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten, which means struck down. The Lord set the ambushments. And what were they doing to draw Him into that? Singing to Him. Praising Him. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Did y'all know that's a sacrifice? It's a sacrifice, and people want to blow off the praise and worship service. They don't want to sing. They don't skip that part. I'm just coming for this or whatever. And that's when you're offering sacrifices up to God. We still offer sacrifices. Praise the Lord, we're not out there having to cut the throats of sheep and, you know, cows and everything else. Worship is a weapon. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, when you look at that word worship, and I've been talking about this because I learned this a little while back, and I thought this was interesting. Because like when we have, when we do song service, and we'll say that's our praise and worship, and really I'm learning there's really not any worship involved unless you hit your knees, unless you bow down, unless you prostrate, unless you do something to bow yourself before the Lord. It's just praise. Because listen to this, when you look up worship, 43:52, proskenio. Okay, it says, properly to kiss the ground when prostrating before a superior, to worship, ready to fall down, prostrate oneself, to adore on one's knees, to do obeisance. And you know what? I guess Holy Spirit just told me this. You remember whenever they went out there in the Garden of Gethsemane and they were after Jesus and they were ready to take him with their clubs and swords and their weapons and whatever? And they asked, they were looking for him, and he said, I am. And what'd they do? They fell down. You're not going to stand in the presence of God when you're not his. You're going to fall down and you're going to do that worship. It's powerful. Don't ever, and God knows. He knows when somebody is old or crippled or in bad health or and you can't get to your knees. He knows your heart, okay? But for those of us who can, he really desires our worship, okay? And look at this next picture. And here they are. What is this? This is us fighting together. This is like the body of Christ, right? And here we are with our shields and our armor and everything. We're out on the battlefield. And look at how nice and tight that was. The front and across the top. How they could use those shields of faith, okay, to cover. There's more power and protection when we fight together in agreement. And look at this next picture. This is a different battle formation, right? You can change up your strategies. This one, up close fighting, this would be hard to penetrate when everybody's standing together. You see the cops doing that in whatever, crowd control, where they stand together and they get their shields, and they just keep going forward. And then the crowd keeps going back. It's the same kind of concept, okay? Deuteronomy 32:30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? If they can do that, that's what God says about us. He said, one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000. There's power in numbers when you're in agreement. That's why you want to ask somebody else, pray with me about this, agree with me about this, join your faith with mine in this situation, okay? Let's have two of us going before the Lord and asking for this, or three or four, right? God will fight for you when you honor him. He'll fight for you. And look at this last formation that they did with those shields. And I want to say something. When I was in high school, my world history teacher, Mr. Ritchie, he used to love talking about this kind of stuff. He had one of those pointers that you pull out, and he would be all excited talking about the formations that they would get in, like a turtle and different things with their shields on the top where nothing could get through to them. Okay? That's exciting to picture and think about us as the body of Christ. Remember, we're not solo. We're not Rambo. We're all supposed to be together, being the body. Okay, so here we are, teamwork, not I, but we. We are the body of Christ, and the body consists of many parts, and they're all to work together. So, and also think about the military. Let's be like the military. Don't you hear that? They don't ever leave a man that's down. They're going to go back in there and do what it takes to get him out. Okay? Why do we do that? Why do we see people that backslide and that fall away or that start into sin? And we can't even go to them in love and draw and help to draw them back. Let God flow through you to draw them back. Okay? We just say, look at them. Look what they're doing. That's what we do. Pastor Erustus said that this armor is to be part of our daily lives. And I am in full agreement. You have to live it. You have to live in such a way that you have your armor on all the time. I want to tell you something. He said a soldier does not just declare weapons against the enemy. You don't just declare it. But you have to possess them and be ready to combat the enemy at any time. And this I want to share with y'all too. A few years ago, I met a man that had a healing ministry. This is before I knew more about the guy, which God did reveal. But he had these little cards. And it had like a soldier on the front. And it was all about the armor of God. And it was this prayer that you were supposed to pray. Twice in the day, it would only, this armor that you were going to pray to put on would only cover you for 12 hours. And the reasoning behind that was when Jesus said there's 12 hours in the day and the night comes when no man can work. Okay, and you think about when God made the evening and the morning and those broken up into 12 hours. So it was like that. And so it's like, okay, so I was going along with that. But as you grow, God breaks that stuff apart and shows you, you don't believe that kind of garbage. Here's the thing. The armor doesn't have a time limit on it. You get your armor on, and you do your best to keep your armor on all the time, even when you go to bed at night. You think those Satanists and those witches and everybody else ain't up having their meetings and praying and doing everything else while you're laying in bed asleep? They certainly are. And a lot of the times whenever you're having demonic attacks and different things happening in the middle of the night, you got to remember, who's up? Who's up doing this jump, right? So keep your armor on. Remember what I said. If you get in a situation and you know you just got over here in anger and you took your shoes a piece off, you repent, confess, repent, and get them shoes right back on. That's how you get your armor back on, okay? If you went over here and you backslid and you don't have your helmet on no more, you get over here, you confess, you repent, and you call on the Lord. Please forgive me. I want to walk with you. Get your helmet back on, okay? That's what you have to do. You got to keep your armor intact and keep it on. So in closing, this is my question to everybody out there and in here too. Have you received all of your armor? All of it. You got to have all of it. God doesn't want his soldiers fighting unprepared. And do you have cracks in your armor that need to be repaired? Because sometimes it's not a matter of you didn't get your armor. Maybe you've been through some pretty rough battles. But there's some cracks in your armor. And you didn't recover the way you thought you'd bounce back from a particular fight, okay? That's when you ask God, help me, strengthen me. You reach out to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's part of fellowship. That's part of why we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, okay? If you had your pieces of armor that you took off or that Satan managed to get off of you, did you put them back on? Did you put those pieces back on? Okay? Or have you set your armor aside altogether? Did you just say, just forget it? It ain't even worth it. It's too hard over there being a Christian. I was more blessed over here. I had an easier life over here. And you just laid it all down. If you're living in sin, you don't have any armor on. You don't have God's protection on your life. So if you're living in sin and you want to know why all these bad things keep happening, there's your answer. You don't have God's protection. Only you and God know at what point you have truly left him and are not even walking with him. Some people want to argue with you. Well, I'm still saved. I know I'm saved. You know what? That I can't judge that. I don't know your heart. I can't see inside the heart. The only thing I know is that's between you and God, and you know where you stand with him, okay? Now, I want to share this with y'all real quick, this last little thing, looking at this on the screen now, Dr. David Jeremiah. I watch him a lot of times on Sunday mornings when I'm getting ready, okay? And I haven't found anything off in his teaching. I know you guys out there like to, y'all like to rip people up. I'm telling you, be careful when y'all are ripping into people. You may come against somebody that you weren't grown up enough to understand what they taught. And you don't want to have to answer for God for coming against somebody that he had in that position, okay? Be careful. So here he is, and Miss Paula, thank you, Miss Paula, because she shared this with me. That it is from a teaching of Dr. David Jeremiah's, and it's a declaration of faith in regards to putting on the armor. Now, I'm not against you guys having the bookmark, because that's what she was talking about. I think it was a bookmark. It was a teaching that they were doing at their church about the armor of God. Those kind of things are reminders that remind us. And you may see that bookmark and think, do I have all my armor on? Am I still walking in peace? Have I given in to temptation? You know what I mean? It'll give you a reminder to check on your armor and think about it. So he had a prayer on there that I want to say it out here. And if you guys want to, you know, pause it and whatever and type it out so you can have it. You could probably find it on his website or something, you know. But I want to read this out to you. Because this is like a declaration of faith. And remember how I was telling you take God's word and you start speaking it out? And that also is for you, as well as attacking the enemy. It increases your faith. The more you speak out God's word, okay, because you're still hearing that word back. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, okay? So let's listen to what this is that he scripted out for the prayer of faith about putting on your armor. And then I'll do a prayer. Heavenly Father, your warrior prepares for battle. Today, I claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. I put on the girdle of truth. May I stand firm in the truth of your word so I will not be a victim of Satan's lies. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard my heart from evil so I will remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Jesus Christ. I put on the shoes of peace. May I stand firm in the good news of the gospel so your peace will shine through me and be a light to all I encounter. I take the shield of faith. May I be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit so I will not be vulnerable to a spiritual defeat. I put on the helmet of salvation. May I keep my mind focused on you. So Satan will not have a stronghold on my thoughts. I take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in my hands so I can expose the tempting words of Satan. By faith, your warrior has put on the whole armor of God. I am prepared to live this day in spiritual victory. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's a prayer, a reminder, a statement of faith that you can speak out over yourself whenever you think about it. But I want you to remember, just because you pray and say that doesn't mean you have your armor on. You have to live in such a way that you've got that armor, that you're walking intimately with Jesus Christ, okay? So I want to do a quick prayer and call out some people for prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the armor that you've given us and the equipment that you've given us and your Holy Spirit power and all that you've given us, Lord, to prepare us and help us. And you go before us and behind us. You fight for us. And we just lift your name on high, Heavenly Father. You're from everlasting to everlasting. You hold all power. And nothing and no one can ever defeat you. You're a sovereign. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to please help us to out-strategize the enemy. Help us to cut him off at the path and to keep our armor on and to use our weapons that you've given us. Use us to destroy his plans through our prayers and standing for your truth. Help us to pray in such a way that your holy warring angels will be sent out to strike the enemy down. Help us to keep our shields anointed and our swords sharp and at the ready. And give us the boldness to charge the enemy and kick his gates down and to go in and set those captives free, just like Jesus said. He said that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. And he said, greater works will you do than I have done. Take him at his word. That's a scripture we can speak out and decree and declare and watch it come to pass. Now, right now, I want to pray for salvation. And today I want to pray over some channels that have not only been attacking us, but Leah, James and Leah, they have a YouTube channel that they lift up Jesus Christ. And they're being attacked because they stood with us. It's just like when I was attacked standing with Miss Linda. Those channels that are attacking Christians, some of them are straight out atheists. Some of them are acting like they're Christians. They're doing the work of Satan. The people who are behind those channels is who I'm lifting up for salvation. And Miss Dawn from Taco Bell. Father, we're just asking you, Lord, to draw these people by your Holy Spirit. Jesus told us to bless them and to pray for them and to love them. So we're praying for them. We're lifting them up to you, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, Lord, to draw them out of their darkness. Lord, remove their hardened hearts and place that flesh heart in. Draw them to Jesus Christ, Lord. Give them eyes to see. And for a home, Miss Shannon and Asher, Heavenly Father, we're asking for a good home for you to place them where they have shelter, Lord, a roof over their heads. And you supply and you meet all of our needs when we seek your kingdom first and your righteousness. Then you said you'd add all these things to us, Lord. And so we're asking for home for them. For targeted individuals, Jeff was sharing on our Facebook church page that him and his family have been in a fight. And it sounds like targeting. And Miss Deanne, Lord, and all the targeted individuals, we lift them up to you, Father. And I just ask you to hide them from the enemy. Deliver them, Lord, from this persecution. Give them strength to endure what they have to endure, Heavenly Father. Teach them how to fight. Equip them, Lord. Draw them into Jesus Christ. And for healing, Miss Dawn is looking for good results on her heart that she's having tests, and she's wanting to be all clear of Parkinson's because that runs in the family. We're believing for a good report there. And for Mark and Matt for healing. Miss Linda, her blood pressure has been going up and down. Don't know why. And Ashton, she was in a wreck, and her thumb is needing healing. Mr. and Miss Wilson and Miss Sue is battling cancer. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you're the healer, and by your stripes we are healed. And I ask you, Lord, we lift up these needs right here, right now for healing. And we're praying for good testimonies and good reports to come back, Lord, as you touch and heal in each individual situation. And Heavenly Father, Miss Melissa, she wrote a book, and she believes she was inspired to do so by you. She's looking for direction and guidance, Heavenly Father, for what to do with it now. Lord, I pray that you would show her, that you would speak to her and show her what to do, where to send that book to the right person that's going to help to get it out there, Lord, that's going to be part of the plan that you had in her writing it in the first place. For evacuations, Lord, we've been having some horrific weather with the hurricanes and things, Lord. Some places have already been hit, Haiti, and other places are still being affected, Lord. We ask you for those that are evacuated and all those that are going through that, Father. We ask you to protect your children. We ask you, Lord, for those that have had things that have been demolished and destroyed and damaged. And we just ask you, Lord, to help them pick up the pieces. We ask for the communities to work together, Lord, for love to flow, for people to help each other, Heavenly Father, for those helping hands from the community all around, Lord. We ask you to comfort them and give them peace and give them strength to persevere, Lord. Help them not to lose their faith, even if they lost all. They think they lost all, but if they have their life, they still have everything if they'll turn to Jesus, because Jesus is our all in all. And Lord, I want to lift up James and Leah, Miss Linda, Pastor Patrick, the people, Lord, that are working to spread your gospel, that are working, Lord, to lift Jesus up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. They are working to lift up Jesus. Lord, I just ask you on your ministries and your ministers, those that are stepping out for you, doing your work, Lord, that you honor your servants and protect them, and I know that you do. You're the defender of our reputation. You're the one who makes people's names great. You know all that's going on, Lord, and I pray a hedge of protection around them. And that wall of fire, I pray Psalm 91 over them, Lord. And we know that you will exalt those who have humbled themselves before you, Father. And Lord, for Miss Anna, she had asked again, and so did Miss Yolindy. There are certain ones, Lord, who have prayed about the baptism, so they know they've been baptized into your Holy Spirit, Lord, but they're waiting on their prayer language, and I'm asking for your favor for the ones in their heart, Lord, who are wanting their prayer language, Father. I'm asking you to grant it and give it to them. I've heard testimonies of people waking up from their sleep, speaking in tongues. So it doesn't have to be any particular place or situation or anything. We're just asking you, Lord, to move and answer those needs. And for nightmares, I wanted to end on this. Mr. Seth, you said you've been having nightmares. And Mr. Randy, you're still having demonic attacks. Now, I want to tell y'all something. When you have that kind of stuff, first of all, you look at your walk with Jesus. You make sure, just like we've been talking about the armor, is your walk with him intact? Is there any unrepented sin? Have you broken off all generational curses? Do you have your armor on? And if you've done all those things, you're pleading the blood of Jesus. Have you cleaned out your house from all the things that don't please God? Have you anointed and asked him to bless your home? And after you've done those things, have you been fighting? Have you been commanding the devil to go? Have you been asking Holy Spirit to protect you in your sleep? Ask him to teach you how to fight even in your sleep. I want you guys to know how to do these steps. And so right now, Lord, for Seth and Randy, come at you, Satan, and we bind you off and out of their lives, of their when they're asleep, when they're trying to get sleep. We bind you out of that time. In the name of Jesus Christ, you and all of your kingdom, in Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus over Randy and Seth, anybody else that's having nightmares. And Lord, we just ask you to send your holy warring angels in to fight for them, Lord. And I ask you to teach them how to fight spiritually so they can come against this stuff and have confidence to know that they have been given the power and authority to come against it and rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. Most of the time, it involves getting down to the root of what caused it to start in the first place. So, Lord, I'm just asking you to bless your children, pour out your favor, continue to teach us how to fight, Father. And we want to do all these things for your glory, your honor, and your kingdom. We pray all these things in the mighty and holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to, let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord, and you went away from him, and you just kind of left it behind, and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part, and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, We all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know? So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible. Okay? They believe in the Bible and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God. Okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk. Okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever. All right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony. Okay? God bless y'all.